Well, good morning, everybody. You're so welcome. If we haven't met yet, my name's Andy. I'm the senior pastor here. If you are a guest or a visitor, if you've joined us as we open the new space, you're so welcome. We did it. Some of us have slightly bigger bags under our eyes than others, but we made it. We're still alive. We're still standing. Most of us are still friends. So well done. This morning's going to be a little bit different. We're going to do a few different things and a slightly different flow to what would be our normal Sunday gathering. But it's also Love Lagan Valley today. We have teams going out all over the community. We have people doing gardens, decorating homes, joining in with partner charities and agencies. There's a barbecue on out there. That wasn't necessarily planned to coincide with today. Whenever we started, we weren't sure exactly where our opening Sunday would land, and we didn't want to postpone one or postpone the other. And so there's loads and loads happening. But, you know, guys, as I have reflected on that, and the fact that we're doing both of these things in the same day, I actually love it. I know some of our team don't love it, but I love it. Whenever we started Lagan Valley Vineyard nearly 13 years ago, I think, probably about 18 months into the journey, we'd grown, and you know, there are all sorts of people who like kind of nerd out on church growth and what you should do at different stages of church growing and all those sorts of things. And when you start from zero and you get to sort of around 100 adults, they would really recommend at that point you need to kind of hire someone. And the role that you should be hiring for is an internal person to bring some sort of organization and structure to kind of what's going on. And if you've been a part of this community any length of time, you'll know that we've said this from the very beginning, that the church exists to be a blessing to the community within which it's in. And so when we got to that stage, we actually felt it would be a bit hypocritical for us to employ an administrator or something like that. So we actually started to pay a vet to do all of the community work beyond the building and Sunday services and all those sorts of things, kind of as a stake in the ground that we're not here for ourselves, we're here for the wider community. And so this morning, as we celebrate this new space and all that it opens for us, I just feel like it's so appropriate that coincides with a morning when we send teams and individuals out across the region to love and serve and do all of those sorts of things. So we're super excited about that. I want to spend some time. I'm not going to do a sort of a proper sermon today. I don't know what a proper sermon is, but I'm not going to do what we normally do. We are going to talk about a passage in Matthew 25, the parable of talents, but just for time, I'm not going to read that. I'll reference it in a couple of different ways as we go. But before we get into that particular text, there's a few thank yous that would be wholly inappropriate if we didn't do today. Some people and teams and individuals that without whom next door just would not have been possible. I want to say a huge thank you to Danny McGinn and his team. Danny was our contractor, his building team that pulled the whole thing together. And I've known Danny for some time now, and so it wasn't a surprise to me, but it was a surprise to some of our team that didn't actually know Danny, that I think the phrase above and beyond is the most repetitive kind of piece of feedback that just keeps coming, right down to someone getting a flat tire out there last week, who he then changed the tire, took the tire, went and got the tire fixed, brought the tire back, put it back on again. It's just a measure of the man and his team. They just give themselves wholeheartedly to this project and process, and we are so grateful to him and all of his team, to Keith and Nicola and Gabby from Bradley McClure Architects. This has been loads of fun for me. We kept having these site meetings or design meetings with architects, where I would talk about theology, which maybe doesn't surprise you, but it did surprise them from time to time. But as we talked about values, as we talked about theology, as we talked about the church and the things that matter most to us, it was their imagination, creativity, and skill that made all of those ideas come alive in color and in texture and in detail and design. They have done an absolutely stunning job. Johnny Lloyd from Gymnasium designed for new signs and the little things that actually make the whole space work. Of course, also to Ruth Wilson and her team at Beaufort, who were in all week long, upholstering and making deadlines that weren't reasonable, work with a big smile on their face, and all the things that came with that. Guys, would you join me in thanking all of those who made all of this work? We simply couldn't have achieved what we have next door without an amazing team. I want to say a huge, huge thank you to our staff team and to so many of you volunteers who have given up evenings and mornings. There was a whole squad of us here at 7 o'clock yesterday morning to take a last-minute delivery of chairs. There have just been so many people whose lives have been disrupted and interrupted, and I've done it with a smile on her face the whole time. Would you join me in thanking our staff and volunteers? The biggest thank you I have is for all of you, without whom this would have been completely impossible. A couple of years ago, we did what we do when it comes to these things, which is throw out a bit of a mad idea and a fairly large number, and then we say, go talk to Jesus and bring whatever you think you should. And you gave so generously and so sacrificially to make this space possible. I was chatting to some friends during the week who lead another church elsewhere, and they asked me what the mortgage was going to be on the fit-out cost, and I said there isn't one. It's all paid, well, it's not quite all paid, but the money's in the bank. Hopefully, it'll all be paid on Tuesday. And at the minute, I give myself some latitude in the 9:30 service, but I was corrected by someone who knows the detail. At the moment, we are, I think, 0.5% over budget. So it's been pretty extraordinary. I said we will be somewhere maybe between 1 and 2 because we don't have everything in yet. But the reality is all of that, all of what we need to make Next Door possible is in the bank because of you. We say this all the time, that we are most like God whenever we're being generous. And it's one of the greatest honors of my life to lead a church that's actually like God. And I really, really believe that. Of course, there's issues, and some of you don't get on from time to time, and sometimes I say things that annoy you from time to time, but the reality is, guys, you represent Jesus so, so well, and this space is such a testimony to that. Would you take a minute and thank each other? You can applaud. That's the easiest thing. You're like, how are we going to do that? How are we going to do that? We'll maybe get slightly more awkward in a minute or two. Any of you that were in the 9:30 know what's coming. But, you know, one of the things I'm most proud of our community is we've never been the kind of people to wait until we had what we needed to do what God was asking us to do. Because if you know anything about God, he always asks you to do things that you don't feel like you have enough for. Like, that's how it works. That's what following Jesus is. He always asks you to do things that you didn't have enough for. And whenever we started this community, the little story of the boy who brought us lunch to feed thousands, we used to talk about that all the time. And the little phrase we had back then was, it's not about how much you have, it's about who you're giving it to. And 12 years later, back then it was just a hope. but some of what we're living in, that has become a reality. There's a really important spiritual principle in this, that we are supposed to live into the things of God as if we believed we had all we needed. The reality is sometimes we don't think we have all we need. Like, I'm pretty sure when Peter stepped out of the boat, he was expecting to sink. I'm certain of it. And whenever his first foot hit the water and stayed on top of it, I suspect he was surprised. And or maybe he's just nothing like me at all, because that's how I am. Every time we say yes to Jesus and we step towards things, maybe shame, I'm surprised that he comes through. We're never supposed to wait until we feel like we have all we need, because when God says go, we say yes. I love that over the years you guys have modeled this in some of the most amazing ways. Regardless of space, you have relentlessly pursued the mission of Jesus for the sake of those who need him. We have worshipped in dingy shop units, in schools, in parks, in art centers, in chapels, in countless homes, and even the odd farm over the years. We have done children's ministry in corridors and caravans and computer suites. We've made literally thousands of cups of coffee and tea in all sorts of places. For any of you who were around in the Palm Park days, when we were in the primary school, they wouldn't let us use the canteen for health and safety reasons. So there's a community house, which was a car park and a garden away, that our volunteer team showed up every Sunday morning to make tea and coffee in this tiny little kitchen, carried across a garden, carried across a car park, just so that people could get a welcome whenever they came to church. We've built kitchens inside and outside. We have stacked, restacked, and stacked again these chairs more times than I can count as we made this space work for all of the different things that we needed to. We've packed hampers and hosted donations in spaces that were never quite fit for purpose. For those of you who have welcomed new babies in this community over the last 12 years, you have endured space that just didn't work. And you've had to deal with your babies and toddlers being shoved into rooms that weren't quite big enough, and all sorts of other things that was never in our heart to do. It was just the limitations of the space. In the parable of the talents recorded in Matthew 25, there are these servants that take what the master had given them and they put it to work and they see it multiply. And then the text records that the master comes back and sees what they've done with what he gave to them. And he says these words, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will now put you in charge of many things." Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. Now I will put you in charge of many things. You see, regardless of what we have in our hands, and I know some of us don't feel like we have much, the reality is that God's expectation on us is that we would put to work whatever it is that we have to see it grow and multiply for the sake and blessing of other people. Faithfulness in God's kingdom is not measured by longevity. Faithfulness is not how long you've sort of hunkered down and stuck in a thing. That's not God's definition of faithfulness. Faithfulness in God's kingdom, certainly according to this passage, is measured by investment and risk. That's how God defines faithfulness. Will you invest what I have trusted you with to see it grow for the sake of others? Will you risk your security and your comfort? Will you risk your life being disrupted so that my life and hope can come to those around you wherever you are? Today is a celebration moment, a moment we get to mark together where we get to stop and hear God say, "Well done, good and faithful servants." I love this story in Matthew 25 because it's Jesus doing what he does best, which is to kind of pull the curtain back and show people what God is really like. And one of the things that gets revealed to us in this passage is God isn't just generous, but he's grateful. Well done, good and faithful servants. God's grateful. And we don't really talk about that so much. Every week we remind you that God is generous, but God is also full of gratitude. And that maybe shouldn't surprise us because gratitude and generosity are two sides of the very, very same coin. If you want to be more generous, practice gratitude. If you want to learn how to kind of open your hands to live a more generous life, just practice gratitude. Learn to say thank you. Take some time in the morning or the evening. An old mentor, when he was talking about these sorts of things in church, used to ask people, how many people in the room are wearing socks? Just wave at me if you're wearing socks. Like, this is not a joke. You know, there are people in the world who just love a pair of socks. Like, socks would change everything for the comfort of their life. And so if you struggle to think, there's nothing in my life I can be grateful for, I can be quite sure if you don't have a pair of socks, we can find you a pair of socks that mightn't smell great, but there's plenty in our lives that we can be so grateful for. And it's as we practice gratitude that generosity grows in our lives. And of course, the opposite is true too. If you're actually feeling, I'm just not that, I'm really struggling with gratitude at the minute, practice generosity and watch what happens. Buy somebody a coffee. Give something that matters to you away. Practice generosity, and I promise you, you will notice you become more grateful for the things and the blessings in your lives. The reality is God is both. He is both generous and grateful. And we don't stop very often to experience the gratitude of God. Sometimes, every time we gather here on a Sunday, we lean into practicing our gratitude towards Him. It's very, very important. But when was the last time you paused and heard Him say, thank you to you? In this funny little place we call Northern Ireland, we don't receive anything overly well. We don't receive compliments well. We don't receive gratitude well. We're not really built that way. We kind of squirm a bit, you know. I love it when I go to people's houses and they've prepared an amazing meal and you do a really over-the-top lavish, this is amazing, thank you so much, and they just shrink, you know. And, you know, like there's something about that I find really endearing about this part of the world, you know. Like we're not showy, flashy people. We don't do limelight overly well. But there are times, guys, when it is totally appropriate to receive well done. And to receive thank you. And on this afternoon, on this day, it is so appropriate that you would hear from me, but more importantly from God, thank you and well done. This building project is not everything. It's a significant moment, but it's not even close to the stuff that's kind of in our hearts and imaginations, the things that we think God's invited us into, the things that He's calling us towards. But it is a really significant moment. You've heard me say this so many times. The church is not a building, it's a family, but families need homes. And for the first time ever, we actually have a home that reflects who we are and facilitates what we feel like God's actually put on our heart to do with and for each other, but way more importantly for the community around us. Romans 4 says that we worship a God who gives life to the dead and calls things into being that are not. That's what being connected to God is supposed to be about. The evidence of the presence of God among the people is supposed to be life being breathed over things that have died and things that are not in existence coming into existence. And this building next door is a physical expression of how God works. He whispers to His people about something that He sees that is not yet a reality. And together, they say, yes, we will risk for that. We will invest in that. And then it comes alive. It's a perfect example of how God works. Did He do this? Or did we do this? Well, the answer, of course, is yes. He did this and we did this. And so we get to play this wonderful game with Him where we say thank you and He says thank you. And we get to say thank you to each other and we get to hear thank you from each other. That this is a He did it and a we did it. I remember not long after we started, James was leading worship in one of our less than ideal venues. And afterwards I said to him, Jay, that was just so good, so good. And he said, oh, it wasn't me, it was Jesus. And I said, I think if it was Jesus, it would have been way better. And I pick on him all the time on that one, but he's a man that has grown to learn to receive. And now when many of you, as you often do, say, James, that was amazing, he says, thanks. This is a moment where we celebrate that we did it and He did it. And we get to hear Him say thank you and we get to say thank you. So we're going to do what I think would only be appropriate in a moment like this is actually worship in a second to together say thank you to Jesus. But so Jay, why don't you and the guys come back up? But before we do that, I want to just create a moment together. You'll have heard me say awkward is not the enemy, so this is potentially a little bit awkward as I cajole you into doing something that you don't so easily do. But we want to take a moment to just turn to the people to your left and your right, to the people in front of you and behind you. And I want you to just say two things. I want you to say, well done. And I want you to say, thank you. Because this is not a we did or a bunch of builders did. This is a all of us did. And it is so appropriate today that you get looked in the face by someone and someone says thank you, because without you, without your generosity, without your investment, all of this just stays an idea. And so will you take a moment and will you just turn to the person to your left, your right, in front, behind, and just say, well done, say thank you. The second part of that text in Matthew 25 is really what I want to focus on, just as we kind of close our time to frame kind of where we're headed from here in this moment. The verse says, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. Now I'm going to put you in charge of many things. I don't know if you kind of caught the second half of that, but it's really, really important. You've been faithful with a few things. Now I'm going to put you in charge of many things. That faithfulness in God's kingdom always leads to more. That's what happens. And sometimes this is not obvious for you guys because it's just the normal kind of water that you swim in, but this is quite an extraordinary season of more in all kinds of ways and spaces and directions. And in a few weeks' time, 14th, 15th, and 16th of June, we're going to gather with well over 1,000 people from all over Ireland at Nua, a field in Newcastle, from little ones to oldest ones, to celebrate Jesus, to listen to his voice, to pray for Ireland, to eat food and have loads and loads of fun together. It is not by a long stretch the only thing that Jesus is doing in Ireland this summer, but it is a really, really significant thing. And it's important that you know this, that without this community, it doesn't happen. Of course, we're not the only part of that frame. Without Emmanuel and Lurgan and Portadown, without Centre 61 in Newcastle and an army of volunteers, no, it doesn't happen. But this is an expression of the more that God is calling us as a community to hold and invest in. What's going on with teenagers and Youth Alpha, particularly in the schools and in this community, is being talked about literally all over the world. Like, who ever thought something happening in Lisburn would be news in London? I mean, we did when we started this thing 12 years ago. I mean, we don't really care. I hope that's not insulting what people in London think, but there was a sense of God's going to do something here that's going to be really, really significant. And one of the problems with like living in the stuff that God does, I think we think that when that happens, it'll feel like different from our lives. But it actually just feels like our lives because it's our lives. And we still have to take bins out and deal with family members that are difficult and all of the normal things of life. In the middle of it all, in the middle of ordinary life, God does extraordinary things. And we are in a season, in a time of God saying, yeah, you've been faithful with these small things, and now I'm going to give you many things. And it's really, really important for us to understand that, because God has added to the things that we're holding and carrying together as a family. And whilst that is a blessing, whilst it's really exciting, it's also full of challenge. Just talk to any of the farmers in the room or in our community, and they will tell you that looking after a few is not the same as looking after many. Like, there's a whole other realm of complexity and challenge that comes with that. You see, the reality for us, things just got a whole lot better. And a whole lot more complicated. Like, that's what life with Jesus is like. They get better and they get more complicated. Anybody that's brought a new baby home will know exactly what that feels like. Like, life just got better and a whole lot more complicated. I also want to say, I don't know if he's actually in the room right now, I've missed this, but the newest member of our family, little Cormac Toll, is in the building somewhere. Is he here? Where is he? I mean, we have a crash now. Like, who knew? I guess he's in the crèche. Wow, that's amazing. But yeah, James and Hannah's little son Cormac is here today, and we're thrilled that he's here. But things for us just got better, and they got a whole lot more complicated. And I want to remind us of a few things as we step into this more, as we step into these many, many things together that are so important. They are so wonderfully represented by three elements that you've hopefully already noticed as you come in the door next door. They are the map, the table, and the fire. Those things are not there by mistake. It wasn't like we've got, what should we just do there, or what should we put there, or all of those sorts of things. Are very, very intentional. These three elements have been chosen and placed in our new space because of what they represent, that whenever you walk through the front door, right in front of you is a map, because we have said this from the very beginning, whatever happens in here has always been about out there. Like, this has never been just about us or what's going on within these walls. We've never set out to just kind of be involved in a good church. We've always wanted to be involved in helping, joining in with Jesus and making a great community. One that the scriptures talk about as being a place that's wonderful to grow up and wonderful to grow old. That is called the mission of Jesus, and he's entrusted that to the church. And so when you come in the doors, you'll see a map of the Lagan Valley area to remind us of why we are here. We are a community that dreams of a day when this entire valley would come alive in Christ. Every corner of culture, every sphere of society, where we would live into the truth that the church is not here for us, but that we are the church here for the world around us. And as we step into more together, as things get more complicated, we must never lose sight of what we are here for. And that is the lost and the lonely, the least and the unloved. And this new space exists to help us better live into the mission of Jesus. And every time your eyes are drawn up and you look at that map, my prayer is that you would be reminded that you're here for a purpose, that the people you live next door to are not there on accident, no matter how challenging they may be. These things are deeply significant to the mission of Jesus, that we learn how to neighbor well. The place really matters in an age where technology and our kind of addiction to screens and devices is rampant and helpful at some times. It is so critical for the people of God to be rooted in place, to care about the streets they live in, the neighbors they live beside, to know their names, to know what's going on there, and to live into the goodness of God for the sake of everyone. That's the map. In front of the servery, you will notice an absolutely ginormous table that was handmade by Mark, who was the joiner on the project. The table represents community, a place to connect, to listen, to grow in love for and with each other, that as we reach outward, we grow in connection with each other. The table is where we eat, where things slow down, where we get to look each other in the eye when, as my lovely wife says, when life is lifing. You see, as we step into the many things, we mustn't lose sight of each other. Our culture proclaims one of the great lies that is a cancer to our souls, that success in life is independence. And the reason why that's such a cancer for our souls, it is in the direct opposition to how you were designed and made. God made us to depend on each other. It's one of the reasons why, I don't know if you've ever seen the little videos of servicemen returning and surprising their kids. I can't watch those videos without absolutely weeping. Why? Because there's something in our souls that longs for connection, to be connected to people who love us and to love people. We are designed to depend, and we are most alive in community. The table is the place where the hierarchies of the world are leveled, where rich and poor, refugee and foreigner are equal. The table is the place where blow-ins become family. The table is the place where love grows. And this new space exists to help us facilitate community, to help us grow in family and love for each other, and a space to welcome the stranger, to live into some of the fingerprints of God that have been all over his church for millennia. Isn't that wonderful? And finally, at the end of the table, you'll notice the fire. And I've said for 12 years, if I ever got to be involved in a church building, it would have a fire for so many reasons. But the fire represents the presence of God. You see, we are a community of dreams, but we're also a community of vision. And we have a vision to see this expression of the church on Jesus on fire with the power of his holy presence. In the winter, when temperatures plummet and light grows scarce, it's the fire we gather around to warm ourselves and to illuminate our lives. And so it is with the presence of Jesus, our greatest treasure and the thing we seek above all else. It is the presence of God that guides and sustains us. Without the presence of God, this is all just a game. It's good for nothing and for no one. Like, if God's presence is not among us, then Christianity is just a hobby, and there are way better hobbies out there. You see, we can do programs and activities. We can get good at the mechanics of sermons and services. But it is only the presence of Jesus that makes any of this worth it. And it's only the presence of Jesus that gives us anything to offer those desperate souls trying to find their way home. In this global cultural moment of chronic uncertainty and anxiety, as the epidemic of physical homelessness and emotional homelessness haunts our communities, it is the presence of God that calls us home to him, to ourselves, and to each other. This new space exists to help us better prioritize the fire of his presence that burns up our sin and breathes life into our weary bones. As we finish this moment and move into food and service and community, it's my prayer, my deepest prayer, that the map, the table and the fire would be anchors for you as you are spiritually formed into the way of Jesus for the sake of the world around us and each other as we grow in learning to see brother and sister and mother and father in this community for everyone. Lagan Valley Vineyard, well done, good and faithful servants. You have been faithful with a few things. Now watch as he puts you in charge of many things. James, why don't you and the guys come back up as we close? If you're able, please stand. A map, a table, a fire, mission, community, presence, hope, love, and faith. I don't know what you're here this afternoon in need of in that little triad, maybe all three. But God is so generous and he's so good. And as we respond, we'll take a moment to be filled up with the things that we need. So why don't you close your eyes? Lord, we thank you for the sound of life on the other side of that wall. Thank you for little ones that find joy in your presence and space to call theirs. Lord, thank you for all the things that you're opening in front of us, before us. For the many things that you're calling us into as a community, as individuals, as families. And our best prayer in this moment is simply come, Holy Spirit. Come do what you always do. Come be who you've always been. Would you release into us faith, hope, and love? We welcome your presence.